taming the tongue. How many, don't raise your hand on this one. How many need their tongue tamed? And don't even look at your spouse. But anyway, another thing before I begin, we're going to do small groups this fall. So Christina is, she's in the nursery. But if you have a particular topic or you can want to host a home for the small group, see Christina. All right? All right. This is our scripture for the month. We're doing a scripture each month. This is 1 John 5:20. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. You know, if we didn't have Jesus, we wouldn't have the life of God available to us. So the life of God, Jesus said this. He says, it's better for you that I go instead of stay. Because if I go, he knew that God Almighty, all that he is, could dwell inside of mankind. We fully don't have a comprehension of that. This is why we come to church. This is why we learn things. But I know that it's a great journey to know what is on the inside of you and me. You know, because, you know, religion, I was raised pretty religious, and it's people trying to do things or perform things to get to God and so that he will accept you. And then we all fail at that. And I do mean all of us fail at that. So God sent his Son, and he says, my Son will take care of pleasing me and of doing everything, so that if you believe upon Jesus, you come in covenant with Jesus, and so the covenant is fulfilled by Jesus doing it. Isn't that a good deal? Let me put it in Kentucky terms. It's like somebody going out working really hard for you for 10 or 12 hours, and you get the paycheck. Okay, maybe that wasn't a good illustration, but it spoke to my heart anyway. But I have this famous quote. This really, I just felt like we needed to hear this today. D.L. Moody said this: there are many of us that are willing to do great things for the Lord, but few of us are willing to do little things. And this is the kingdom of God. It's people doing little things, helping people, calling people, making a dish for somebody who's sick or not feeling well. Doing those little things means a lot. It means a lot to me as a pastor of this church. You know, people go, well, you know, I didn't do that much. Or all of the little things add up. A lot of people are looking to do the grandiose things, but God says, I need a lot of people doing little things. Amen. Last week we talked about words and the tongue and the power of your words. And the thing is, we really need to renew our mind, because for the most part, mankind doesn't think that there's actual power in the words that come out of your mouth. And if you don't believe that, then there's not power coming out of your mouth. But I believe if Christ is in you, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you understand that he is in you, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And so if Jesus is in you and he's one with you, then when you speak, if you understand the power that is in you, it's as if Jesus is speaking. That's a powerful thing. But if you don't believe that, then, you know, if you pray for the sick, the Bible said, Jesus said this, that we should heal the sick. Did you know he commanded us to heal the sick? Cricket, cricket, cricket. We are to heal the sick. How do you do that? I'm not a physician. I can't physically do that. But there is one who is inside of me. Jehovah Rapha is one of his names in the Old Testament, and it's the Lord who healeth. Who healeth? He heals. He heals. How is he going to heal through you and me? One of the main things is when we speak the word of God to your body, to my body. But if you don't think your words are powerful, then it's just going to be, oh, just like when we say, oh, he scared me to death. He didn't really scare you to death, did he? No, but we just say that. We don't really believe that. But you can take that same mentality into the words when you are praying for somebody that you really don't believe them. You and I have to renew our mind to believe that the words we speak are powerful enough to do what you say. For in other words, pain in your knee. I command this pain to leave my knee in Jesus' name. I command it. It cannot stay in my body. It has no legal right. Did you know sickness has no legal right in your body? None. None. It's part of the curse. We've been redeemed from it. Anyway, last week I showed a 2.5 minute clip about this video clip. It's not a preacher. He's a scientist. And science has starting to understand what is inside the molecules and the atoms, the smallest particles that make up the world. We know what makes up the world. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God said, and it was so, let there be light. There was light. And so God's voice, his voice, is in everything that was created. Anything that you and I can see, feel, taste, or touch, anything that was created by God's voice. So even though this, like I said, this pulpit right here, it's made of steel, some kind of metal, this is not moving, but there's something inside that is moving. It's actual vibrations. This guy will explain it. And those vibrations are speaking a voice saying what this is. What this is. That's how powerful your words are. So I'm just going to hopefully get you thinking how powerful you are and can be. You may not live like you are powerful. You may not speak like you are powerful. But there is a power on the inside of you that can be dormant and you not even know it. Let's go ahead and play that 2 minute clip.
Imagine I have a
So, everything is vibrating with a voice that's saying what it is. So, why is that important to you and me? That means everything everything can hear your voice. When you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus spoke to a fig tree. People say, a fig tree can't hear you. Yes, it can. Jesus cursed the fig tree. What happened to the fig tree? It died. Jesus spoke to a fever. What happened to the fever? It left. Jesus spoke to blind eyes. What happened? The eyes were healed and he could see. My point is, that wasn't just a deity trick. Jesus was showing us what is available for mankind. When you accept him as your Lord and Savior, the God of all gods comes and dwells inside of you. And so Jesus was our example of how his voice changed things, which shows us how your voice and my voice can change things. But you have to renew your mind to that. You can't just say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, it won't work for you then. You have to believe that there's power. Jesus said it this way. He said, all things are possible with God. He says, but to you, all things are possible to him. Who's the him? That's you and me. All things are possible to him that believes. So if you believe that when you speak, that thing will change. That thing will change. Last week, we were preparing for Jerry and Kiana's wedding. And they got married on a Friday. That Monday, Monday night, Melody was running errands and she came home. She says, Mike, something's wrong with my car. So I drove it about 100 feet and you just hear this. It was like the wheel bearing grinding and just like nails on a chalkboard. I took it back 5 miles an hour, parked it in the driveway. I walked in and I said, you cannot drive that car. She goes, I got so much to do this week. You cannot drive that car. And so the next day I called, I have a mechanic. You know, if you call a mechanic nowadays and say, yeah, let me see, let me look at my calendar. That's always a scary thing to hear, calendar. You know, that means like, you know, are we going to do this before Christmas or not? But I just have a mechanic who's retired, who does things on the side, and he always can get me in, so it's just awesome, kind of like your own private mechanic. And I called him up the next day. He says, no, Mike, I can't look at it because I'm getting ready to fly to Italy. I went, oh, great. I'm so happy for you. Yes, I did lie. I did lie. I hope you have a great time. I'm still lying. I hung up the phone. I go, no, why are you going now of all days? And I was sad. So we had to park her car. No problem. I still got my truck. We're driving around. On the day of rehearsal, Thursday, you know, Jerry and Kelly says, we got a bunch of stuff. We need you to use your truck to do that. I said, great, that's okay, no problem. And so Thursday morning, I'm get on Highway 50 to run some errands. As soon as I get on Highway 50, I put my foot in the gas pedal, and it goes, it's just like whiplashing like I'm on a Bronco, and the check engine light, you know, that's a light from hell. How many... That is a light from hell. I just wish, you know, back in the other, before that, you just think, oh, something's wrong with your car. When that's flashing, it's like, it's a serious problems with your car. And so it was flashing at me, and I go, my mechanic has taught me this. He said, if it's flashing, you need to pull over and park. But he said, if it's just staying on, you can just find out what's wrong with your truck. And so I just start yelling out. Nobody else was in my truck with me. I start yelling out. I go, no, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. I got really upset. So eventually it just stayed solid. And I went, oh, good. So at least I drove it. So I started driving. I called my mechanic and I said, hey, I'm sorry to bother you. I know you're getting ready to go to Italy, but this is important. I said, can I drive my truck? Oh, I stopped at AutoZone. They plugged it into the computer, and they said, your number 4 coil and your number 4 spark plug are shot. That's why it's doing that. So I called him. I said, you know, I don't have time to get the... First of all, I don't even have a shop that can fix it anyway. I said, can I drive this all the way to Palmer Lake? And he says, if you drive it like a grandma. Don't get offended if your grandma. But of course, I had no idea what that meant. But anyway, I said, okay, but I got to get on I-25, which means you got to get up to 75 miles an hour. He says, get up to 75 like a grandma. I said, okay. So I did that day. But this is what I did. How many know 2 weeks ago I preached about having dominion over your problems and situations in the midst of them? I'm driving down Highway 50 while I'm hearing this, and Jesus just hit the play button on my message. Isn't it great when you can minister to yourself? And Jesus says, I want you to hear this. Click. And I hear myself preaching up here 2 weeks ago about having dominion over your problems and not letting worry and all of this rule you, but to believe that God's going to do supernatural things to work this out. And so I'm hearing this in my truck, and I go, I just got, all of a sudden a peace came on me. I got happy. I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm just believing my truck and everything. I'm just so thankful that we're going to be able to take my truck and you know, I mean, it was like a semi-stuff, the stuff they were putting in my truck. We got it there. I drove back, and on the way there, though, on the way to Palmer Plake, it was time for rehearsal. I get a phone call from one of my friends. It's in Nebraska. He was, some of you all know, Trent. He was in our church, and his son was great friends with Jared and Joel. So they were all coming to the wedding. He says, Mike, how you doing, man? And I go, great. I said, man, I just, you know, I got my truck is, I'm got a problem with my truck. He said, what's wrong with it? I said, the coil and the spark plug number 4, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I tell him this. He says, and he says, okay. And we hang up, and he calls me back. He says, I Googled that. That's about like a 10-minute job. I said, Trent, you're talking to Mike Davis. I have to have a guy to where the dipstick is on the engine. That's how. So he says, I'll tell you what, I can fix that for you. I said, Trent, I don't know when because, I mean, I'm on my way to rehearsal. I said, we probably won't get home. It'll last pretty late tonight. We're going to have a meal afterwards. And he said, what time? I said, 9, 10 o'clock tonight. He says, You call me when you're close. And I said, all the parts places are going to be closed. He says, I've already bought, this was in between phone calls. He called me the first time. He says, I've already bought the coil. It was only $85 and $10 for a spark plug, $95 worth of parts. I've already bought it. I get home about 10 o'clock at night. He's sitting in the driveway waiting for me. That's not the whole story. It took him about 15 minutes to fix it, but then he dropped the wrench, and it went down in the engine. It took him 15 minutes, and he wasn't even greasy or dirty. And then it took him 15 minutes. He goes, yeah, I just can't work on a car. He couldn't find it. It took him longer to find the wrench. But anyway, he said, so what's the deal with your wife's car? I go, I think it's the bearing, you know, the mechanic that I am. I think it's the bearing. And he said, well, let's just test drive it, you know. Right? And I go, okay, we won't be able to go far. So we test drove it, and he goes, that's not a bearing. He says, okay, but let's just park it. He goes, I'm pretty sure that's a rock stuck in there. And I went, what? I've never heard of that. He says, it happens to me a lot. So he took, jack it up, take the tire out, rock falls out, puts the tire back on, test drive it, clean as a whistle. Both cars, vehicles were fixed within minutes. The point is this. The power of your words when you think that, oh, nothing's going to work right. I'm telling you what, nothing works right. I'm sure you've never said that. But when you switch that around, when you switch that around and say, God, I believe that you are going to, this is a great thing. You don't have to figure out how he's going to do it. I wouldn't have thought in 100 years because, you know, all the mechanic places are booked up till Santa Claus, you know. And so I wouldn't have thought of how we're going to fix this. I would have never guessed that my friend from Nebraska is going to come down and call me and say, what's going on? I'm telling you. Not only can you have dominion over your, you can only have dominion when you are going to be speaking the right words. So in the middle of your problem, what are you speaking? What do you say? I knew this would happen to me. If it can break, it's going to break. If it's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong. How many times you said that? Oh, probably about as many times as that has happened to you. I'm telling you. And then the enemy, man, he talked to me. You know, God was talking to me in my truck, but the devil will talk to you too. Like, you're not going to be able to take any of this stuff to the wedding now. You can tell, listen to me, listen to this. You can tell if the devil, if you're impressed by what he says to you. You're either impressed by the devil or you are impressed by God. It's how you respond that we know which one is impressing you. When the devil says, the doctor says, oh man, you got cancer. Oh no, I'm going to die. You just got impressed by the devil. Or you can say, thank you, doctor. I appreciate you, what you're doing and everything. You can walk out and you can be impressed by what God says. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Woo! Who's impressing you? I can tell you who impresses you by your response. Oh. Mark Hankins says this. He said, I wrote down this quote, the devil doesn't care what you believe as long as you stay silent about it. As long as you stay silent about it. He doesn't care what you believe as long as it doesn't come out of your mouth. And you believe what comes out of your mouth has the ability to change. And I know there's some people who think, you know, bad things happen, I just don't understand what. I mean, like, the fire that's going on in Hawaii. I think that the death toll, the latest I heard, is like 80 people died. Total devastation. You go and people say, well, I guess that was the will of God. No, it wasn't. No. And I know there's sometimes preachers who say, well, that's the judgment of God. Listen, if this was the judgment of God, we'd all be toasty critters. Everybody would be gone from the planet. No, it's not. But having said that, you say, well, why? This is the problem with people. If we don't have a reason, if we can't figure it out, we usually just put that in the God category, that this must be the will of God, which is wrong. I don't have all the answers, but this is what I know. When you don't have all of the answers, in your foundation has to be that God still loves me. He's a good father. I don't understand why this wasn't caused by God, and I don't understand what's going on, but I'm still going to believe God no matter what. That has to be in your foundation. That has to be. I'm going to real quick read some scriptures from Proverbs just about your tongue, words. If you read Proverbs, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. Man, there's so much about your tongue and about words and communicating. I'm just going to read a few real quick. Proverbs 18:20. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Did you hear that? The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Proverbs 18:21. This is a Passion translation. Sharing words of wisdom is satisfying to your inner being. It encourages you to know that you've changed someone else's life. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences. The Message translation says, words satisfy the mind as much as fruit does the stomach. Good talk is as gratifying as a good harvest. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. You choose, not the devil, not God, you. You are the chooser. Proverbs 21:23. Watch your words and be careful what you say, and you'll be surprised how few troubles you'll have. Job 22:28. You shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor shall shine upon your ways. These are scriptures in your Bible. In your Bible. All right? Psalms 34:12. What man is he who desires life and longs for many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. The Passion Translation says this, do you want to live a long, good life, enjoy the beauty that fills each day? Then never speak a lie or allow wicked words to come from your mouth. Words. Words are powerful. You speak them every day. But if you believe in the power that you speak, they can change your situation. I truly believe, I have no doubt in me, that I got Melody's car fixed and my truck fixed because I did an adjustment in my speaking, in my attitude. I don't think, you know, when you when something bad happens or something's, you know, we usually initial response is, oh man, you get upset and everything. That's okay if you don't stay there. Just don't stay there. Don't take any condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. But this is the thing. Once you get past that and you vent, you know, we all like, what are you doing? I got to vent. Okay, just vent. Now what do you do after you vent? That's when you get, okay, God. You settle down and you get a hold of God. You get a hold of the word that's been placed inside of you. And then once you do that and you start speaking out, start thanking God. God, I don't know how you're going to fix this and take care of this, but man, woo, I'm so glad you're my father and that's your job and I don't have to figure it out. If you do that, you'll see something happen. Proverbs 4:20 is very common when anybody speaks on words, 4:20 through 24. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Life doesn't come from heaven. This says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of what? Your heart. From the inside spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Perverse lips. I looked that up. Perverseness is crooked or contrary speech. Like a river. It's perverse because it just goes until it hits something hard and then it takes the easy route. That's why a river is crooked. Because it just goes to hit something hard and then it goes and cuts into something easier for it to make a path. So many times we just say things that's easiest that comes out of our mouth. God calls that perverse speech or contrary speech. All of us have spoken perversely, but I want to close with this mentality. We speak things against ourselves. We say things that are contrary to what God's word says about us. Tristan, I don't know how to say the last name. It's Zarza said it best when he said, words are only postage stamps delivering the object for you to unwrap. Listen to this. If we think that we lie, you're a liar. If you steal, I'm a thief. If I sold drugs, I'm a drug dealer. If I committed adultery, I'm an adulterer. But God doesn't think like that about you and me. You think that's the label that you've been labeled with now. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Unrighteous. Do you know if you're righteous or unrighteous? You're not unrighteous because of what you've done. You are righteous because of what Jesus has done. So it says, do you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. You think, oh dear Jesus. And such were some of you. He's putting a dividing line. He said, you've done this. And the label that was on you, that's what you were. But then he goes on to say, but you're washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. Anytime you see the word but in the Bible, that means everything that you heard before that has no effect on you now. This is what you were. You were all these things, but... Okay, that's where you need to give ear. But you're washed. You're cleansed. This is what God thinks about you. Psalms 139, verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. Listen, you need to take this personally. This isn't just a scripture in the Bible. This is God speaking to you and to you and to you. He's speaking to you today. This is what God is saying. How precious are my thoughts to you, O God. How great is the sum of them? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. You've been to the beach in Florida or Texas. You've been to the beach in California. You've been to the beach to see how much sand you can scoop up the sand. Can you count how many grains of sand are in your hand? But this is what God is saying to you and to me today. I am thinking great things about you, more in number than the sand. That's your father. We sing today about a good, good father. He doesn't think, oh, you're lying. You're a liar. No, he says, that's my son. I remember when my boys were real young. They did something really bad. And you know what? The Lord just gave me instruction. Instead of really disciplining them the old-fashioned way, I said, okay, sit down. I said, listen to me. You did this. That's not who you are. You are not that. You are righteous in God.